So today we're going to start on Thanksgiving, and we're going to speak about this for the entire month. Today is going to be about Thanksgiving and grace. Okay? Thanksgiving and grace. Now, Thanksgiving is something a lot of times that I say it's almost like the warm-up band. Okay? It's like, I remember several years ago, Missy and I, gosh, we hadn't been together too long. And we went, they wanted to go see Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw up in Nashville. Outdoor amphitheater. Remember that? So we went, Morgan's just a little thing. So we went, and the warm-up guy was Mark Colley from Waynesboro, Tennessee. All right? So he was the warm-up guy. So anyway, he sings about two or three songs, and it's middle afternoon. It's outside. We're sitting there standing up. And there was some lady laying over here on a blanket. She was passed out. Laying there on the blanket, and he sings two or three songs, and she gets to talking. He starts talking, and he said, I want to thank all my friends that are here from Waynesboro, Tennessee. And she raises up and says, you need to go back to Waynesboro. And passes up like that. So sometimes I look at it and I say, that's the way we look at Thanksgiving. It's the world. We're waiting on Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw, and we're getting Mark Colley, right? Who's very talented. But what I'm saying is, Christmas is this thing and all that, and it's like we've got all this hype for it. It's so marketed for the wrong reasons. And we start Christmas in October. If any trick-or-treaters came to our house, they were confused because we had Christmas trees up next to the pumpkins already. In October, don't ask me why, but we do this. So we already start that. So we have Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving comes along, and we start celebrate Thanksgiving whenever we get up that Thursday morning, and we quit celebrating Thanksgiving at about 8 o'clock on Thursday night because we got to go to Black Friday. Black Friday, for a lot of us, is the biggest event of the Thanksgiving weekend. That shouldn't be. Thanksgiving deserves more than a few hours. It deserves more than a day. It deserves more than a month. Even if you are not a believer, Thanksgiving should be something that is in you and is who you are for the entire year. 24/7, 365 days a year. We all should be thankful for the blessings that we have that we don't deserve. Man, we got a bunch of them. And if you are a believer and you're a Christian, you should be even more in this lifestyle. It should be even more in you because you know where it came from. So we need to have this gratitude, and we need to have this spirit about us all year long. Okay? So Thanksgiving and grace. Thanksgiving was originally a day set aside to give thanks for one's harvest and blessings. The original harvest feast in this country was in Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1621. Okay, so 404 years ago. That was the original feast. Everybody farmed then. Okay, we were, even before we were a nation, the ones who were here farmed. Okay, you had to raise your own food. Obviously, you didn't go to the grocery store. So the bountiful harvest that you had, you were thankful for it because you know your life depended on that. One good drought was all it took. So you were thankful. Thankfulness is an emotion of being grateful, appreciative, and happy about a benefit received. Okay? That's thankfulness. But, you know, emotion is fleeting. We're thankful about the good things, and then we forget about it. Sometimes it can be an emotion. It is a temporary feeling you get when something good happens to you. It's easy to say, Lord, thank you, when something good happens. And it's good. A lot of people won't even do that. But that's good. But gratitude is a deeper more enduring state or being of attitude. Gratitude. Okay? It is a long-lasting experience. And it exists regardless of circumstances. So thanksgiving with gratitude should be practiced 365 days a year. As I started studying this for Monday nights, it's just amazing how the Lord works. The first thing I do, I get up on Tuesday morning. I'm studying Monday night. I get up on Tuesday morning, and I went to, when I got to school, I watch the front door. Sometimes I go to social media on there, and I do. And the first thing I pull up is Marcus Freeman, who's the head football coach at Notre Dame. And they were talking about all the coaching firings. And if you lose one or two games, you have a couple of bad weeks, you can be on top of the world one week and you're fired the next week. And they were asking him about the instability of that profession. And he said, you know, if you are not grateful for what you have, you will always find a way to lose it. If you are not grateful for what you have, you will always find a way to lose it. That's from Marcus Freeman, head football coach at Notre Dame University. You know, our jobs can be stressful, and they are at times, or there can be times we're just tired of it. We need a change. We're tired of seeing the same faces, doing the same things. We want to change, and we want everything around us to change. Okay? But we are to be thankful rather than complaining. I need to be thankful every day for my job, for my friends, for my family, for my home, for my dogs, for my cats, for the dog that comes running downstairs when I get home, for everything. It, sometimes we just look over it and it seems monotonous in life. But man, when it's not there anymore, we notice it. We need to be thankful for everything in our lives. Family relationships can bring lots of stresses. Okay? But we need to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that I've got, when we have a stressful situation, Lord, I thank you that I've got a family. We might have a misunderstanding with friends. Lord, I thank you I've got these friends. The car may break down. Lord, I'm thankful I've got this car. I'm thankful I've got this job. We need to be thankful through the stresses and through the hardships, just like we are with the good times. Okay? I promise you, I'm getting ready to get into the scripture. I'm just building it here. One of the most, an individual for years that I really leaned on and I really went to about things was a guy named Liddell Hare. And Liddell was a really great guy. And he was really close and worked with Kerry Cathy, who was the founder of Chick-fil-A. And he used to tell me all the time, he'd say, "Dave, the beauty is in the journey." That's the way I live my life. He said, quit being results driven. The beauty is in the journey. All the hardships, everything that goes with it, the tough times, everything, that's the beauty of it. The results will happen. Embrace every day and what comes with it. Now, thanksgiving, with all this in mind, with everything that happens, being thankful for everything in our lives, that is God's will for us. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That is God's, thanksgiving is God's will for us. So we know we should give thanks. We know that. Well, why should we? Is this just something as a person, being a good person, we should do? Or is this something as a Christian we should do that's even more important? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Man, I heard a bunch of pages turning. That's great. I think I got up here and blabbed so much, nobody thought I was going to get to the scripture. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. This is some familiar scripture, but there are things in here a lot of times the familiar scripture, there's a certain part we'll notice, and then maybe a certain part we put on the back end. Okay? So verse 16 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is what? The will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks is the will of God for us. Okay? It says we're to do three things. We're to rejoice always. Well, you can't rejoice or be thankful without rejoicing. Those two go hand in hand. Okay? They go hand in hand. Paul said rejoice no matter what your circumstances are. That's what he said in Philippians. That doesn't mean things have to go great. Okay? Things can be going pretty bad for you. Okay? You can be going through some tough times. And Paul says, I rejoice in a Roman prison. He said, I rejoice. Okay? I rejoice. So he's constantly giving thanks. They go together. But he also says pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we're on our knees 24 hours a day. But that means during the day, we've got this on our mind. And there'll be times in the day we're just like, God, thank you. We offer a prayer. We say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you've done for me. That should happen throughout the day. Okay? That's God's will. That's what God wants from us, and that's what we are to do as believers. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. It seems like when Paul's giving advice, we go to Timothy a lot. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Okay, once again, when I look some of these things up, verse 3 is really the one. Verse 3 and 4 I want to get to. But so much of this is set up by the previous verses. So I want to go 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people. So, you say, do you pray for people that you might not care a whole lot about? Sure you do. We're to do that. But are you thankful for it, Lord? I thank you that this person I can't stand is in my life. Not easy to do. Or this person's done me wrong. Or this person's really talking bad about me. Or this person's making my life miserable. But you know, Lord, we say it all the time. We're going to pray for them. We do. Pray for our enemies. But he goes one step further here. He says, be thankful for them. Boy, that's a tough one. That's when, Cleo, that's when the Christian walk is not as easy as, you know. Well, what makes it hard? That's not easy for anybody. Okay? But he says, you pray, you intercede, and be thankful for all people. The ones that are good to you, the ones you love, and the ones you may not feel so good about. He says, now for all the kings who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Even the ones that we don't, in politics or leaders, it may be somebody that we are totally opposed to, but we're praying for them. We're praying that God can somehow use them. God can get through to them. That they would do the right things. Okay? We're to pray for that. All right? Now, when that happens, now thankfulness was a part of this. It said we can lead a life, quiet life, a tranquil life, in all godliness and dignity. And who wouldn't want to do that? That's what I want in my life. I don't want to be a complete disruptor all the time and stay into it with people all the time. I actually like Patsy. Okay? So I want a peaceful life. I do. We don't want problems all the time. If you're thankful, it says here, the more you're thankful, the more it will lead to that in your life. Okay? Now, verse 3, here's where I want to go. This is good and acceptable. So remember, we said thanksgiving is God's will for us. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You realize when you're thankful, you are helping people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. When people can tell when you're thankful and you've got that attitude. Lost people out there in the world watch us and how we act. And you've heard this for years. I'm not the first person to tell you this that you've heard from. If I see somebody that's ill and hateful and in a bad mood all the time, and they go to church three times a week and you can't stand to be around them, I don't want any of that. But the grateful people, the thankful people, you have known Christian people in your life or others who are lost would say, there's something about that person that I want. Right? There's plenty of people here that set that example. Plenty of people here that I could see you going out and from day to day and people saying, I love their attitude. I just love the spirit about them. I want what they've got. You remember me telling you about the old fruit inspector guy when I was growing up? I didn't want any part of that. Okay, but the people who are grateful, who are thankful, who just have that spirit about them, that you may not think that it reflects on people, but they know. I remember people from my childhood, a million years ago, that were like that, and I can remember, I can think of people now. You can too. In your mind, you can go back decades and think about people like that. So it makes a difference. That's God's will for us. Okay, now. Thanks is also the receipt and response for grace received. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now I want to say this while you're turning. As you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thanksgiving goes hand in hand with everything in our prayer life. We need to be thankful for things, situations, and people that maybe, that like I said, that are causing us problems. But thanksgiving and our prayer life go hand in hand. We constantly are thankful when we pray. I hope you start out, and I'm not telling you how to pray. Lord forbid. I'm not telling anybody how to do anything. Okay? I do good. Take care of myself. But I know I start my prayers out before anything. Just, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercies, your grace. I thank you that I'm alive, Lord. I say it every morning. Thank you that my feet hit the ground. Lord, I just thank you for life. That I can get up and go. And that you've blessed me. And why you've given me this blessing, I'll never know. I don't deserve it. Lord, I thank you for it. And that's the way we ought to start out our day. That's the way we ought to start out each prayer. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Okay? Now, I'm going to read quite a bit here. I normally don't like to read this much, but like I said, it sets up where we want to get. There's about 3 to 4 places here I want to go in these 9 verses where it talks about thanksgiving and being thankful, okay? Now, I say this. It starts out talking about sowing and reaping, okay? Now, I say this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows generously will also reap generously. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Now, I'm not sitting here talking about prosperity theology. That if you give $100, he's going to bless you 100-fold or you're going to be a millionaire. I'm not saying that. But God will bless you. God's blessed all of us. You can't outgive him. Okay? Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a good, cheerful giver. So, we don't have 10% tithing here. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we don't give. Okay? There's no parameters on it. Okay? Just like God doesn't bless us with parameters, we're not to give with parameters. Okay? God's going to bless us as we give. Now, and God loves a cheerful giver. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Well, I better give because I have to. I don't want to, but I will. Or I do it because I have to. That's like, that's what I did. Or I thought I'm going to get saved because mom and dad want me to. Well, I never got saved. Okay? Now, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, all sufficiency in everything, with grace overflowing, how can you outgive God? Okay? You may have an abundance for every good deed. And I firmly believe that. Okay? So God is just pouring out grace upon grace upon grace. You know, when the Bible says there's sin, grace abounds. Whatever situation, God does not put a limit on His grace for us. Okay? It's written, He scattered the broad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Now, look what it says. He's going to multiply your seed for sowing. He's going to multiply your personal ministry and your spiritual life and how you live spiritually and your Christian walk toward others. He's going to give you the grace and the power to multiply what you do. It just didn't say you lay back and you're going to bless you, you do nothing. This is for us to work. Okay? He'll supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Now here we go. For which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. It works like a wheel. Okay? God blesses us, and in return, we're thankful. Always. God blesses us. Remember, we said that God's will for us is to give thanksgiving, and that's one reason He's doing it. He's blessing us so we will give thanksgiving and have gratitude to Him, okay? Now, verse 12. For the ministry of service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. There's some things I read in here I've never noticed before, and it's just intriguing. It blows my mind. So we think about when we come to church to worship, you know, I'm going to get blessed, I'm going to get filled, this is going to prepare me to go out during the week, I become a stronger Christian. But Paul says here, it's not only for supplying the needs of the saints, and you're the saints, okay? But it is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. We meet, that's the praise of church. We come to show our gratitude to God, okay? But our gratitude comes from how God has blessed us, but because He's blessed us, we're always giving back. And when we give back, God blesses more and it leads to more things. It never stops. Giving to God leads to giving back to us. We're thankful. That leads to more giving, or God giving to us, us giving back to God, more thankful. It just continues in that rotation over and over and over and over. It never stops. One works on the other. Verse 13. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God. Now check this out. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. And for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. For they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. There are three things here This passage is talking about giving and God giving back in more abundance. And like I said, we can't outgive God. But thanks is mentioned three times. Number one, God is enriching us by giving us grace. And Paul is saying it is an automatic, foregone conclusion that we are thankful for that. Now you know this Corinthian bunch wasn't exactly the most buttoned up church Paul had. That was the most carnal group of believers in all of Paul's ministry. They had situations going on in that church that make your head spin. Okay? And Paul, that's all Paul is doing. Just we can't have this. You got to get your house in order. But even with that, he's saying, you know, no matter how carnal you are, and no matter how weak you are in your faith, it is a foregone conclusion. I know when God blesses you that you're going to be thankful and you're going to offer thanksgiving, no matter how carnal you are. Because Paul doesn't say, I hope you're thankful. He said, when this happens, he said, God, I know you're going to be thankful for it. This is what God's gifts produce. Okay? God's intent to bless us is that it produces a spirit of thanksgiving in us, which strengthens our walk with Him. Does God give us to us because He loves us? Absolutely. But God also gives to us because He wants us to be thankful. And He knows we're going to be thankful because of that. And because we're thankful, we become stronger Christians. And we have a better walk with Him. We've seen what He's done for us. And it just produces more love from us to Him, just as He's loved us. Okay? Number two. Our ministry, and I'm not talking about necessarily the church. You're individual. You all have ministries. Our ministry is as much about thanksgiving as it is provision to others. How do we, Charlie talked about and used a great example, God's vertical grace to us so we can give horizontally. So God blesses us, gives grace to us, and we can give grace to others. But our ministry is as much about thanksgiving as it is doing for others. We will have the means to equip the needs of the saints, and that produces thanksgiving. But that ability is the result of thanksgiving. Why has God blessed me so much? Because I'm thankful. Why does God allow me to try to help others? Because I'm thankful, because you're thankful. Okay? When you're thankful, God will reward you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be money or cars or a raise at your job or any of that. There's a spiritual aspect because you're thankful that God will bless you in ways that you couldn't imagine. Spiritual. Okay? Number three. This leads, and this was in the verse 13 and 14. It tells what the result will be. Thanksgiving leads to others accepting and following the gospel because of the Christian charity. They will want to know about the Lord because of that spirit that's within us. So thanksgiving's important. There's just more to it than, hey, you know, God's been so good to me. I just need to give thanks. This whole thing is just mind-blowing how awesome it is and how so many things that God provides because of thankfulness. Okay? Thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation for what you have been given undeservedly. That's grace. Lord, thank you for giving me what I don't deserve. And mercy is, thank you for not giving me what I do deserve. Okay? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. The farther along we get in life, we understand. We may not as young people, as kids, but the older you get, the more we understand how good God is to us, much more than we are to Him. Okay? I tell all the time, God, I don't understand why you bless me. I don't get it. I don't think any of us understand why He's blessed us as much as He has. Now, so we've looked at that. Now let's look at how to be thankful. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. How to be thankful. And we get to a certain stopping point. I told Charlie I used to work with a guy He drove a delivery trucker out. He loved to stand around and talk. He's supposed to be gone by 8 o'clock. It'd be 15 to 9. He's still around talking to somebody. And they asked him one time, he said, why do you, you better get gone and get to work. He said, well, it don't matter what time I leave. I'm going to get off at the same time. So it's kind of the same way here. Wherever we're at, we'll stop and then we'll finish next week. Like I said, there's just so much on thankfulness. We could go for 6 months. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. How to be thankful, or be thankful. Here's the first way on how to be thankful. Be thankful to God first. Be thankful to God first. Okay, verse 14 through 17. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You notice that? He always leads us in triumph in Christ. No matter what the situation, death, where's our sting? Okay? When we have physical death, we're going to wake up with the Lord. Okay? And that seems like the worst thing that can happen. Anything that happens in our life, no matter how bad, we're always going to triumph in Christ. Paul was a perfect example of that, where he says, he's got the worst circumstances of living that you can imagine in a Roman jail. And he says, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. What did our old boy Lehman used to say? I'm a winner either way. Did he not? That's exactly, he leads us in triumph in Christ. If there was a book of Lehman, it would say, I'm a winner either way. I always remember him saying that. That's why I'm saying, people that have the joy of the Lord, and you see it in their lives, you never forget it. It's just passed down to us. Okay? And through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place. Now get this. We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Because we are thankful, we are a fragrance to God. That He enjoys what we're doing, and it's so pleasing to Him that we're thankful, and it's leading to a stronger Christian life when we're living in Him. Okay? For we are a fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. So the world sees it. Okay? To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Well, I'm not adequate for this. I mean, if you, and I'll tell people, if God can save me, He can save anybody. Okay? I don't think you ever hear anybody in this church talk about how great they are. You'll hear them say, I'm proof of how great God is. That He can use a broken vessel like me. Well, none of us are adequate. For we are not like many peddling the word of God. So, just people peddling, making money off of it, doing it for the wrong reasons. But He says, get this, but from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. We are sincere in our thankfulness. Remember what we said? We're not thankful because we have to be. We're not thankful because I better do it, or something bad's going to happen, or, you know, I need to take some time. And no, we're sincere about this, okay? And God blesses that, and because we're sincere, it is a beautiful fragrance. It's like a perfume to God. That's how much He loves it. That's why He blesses us. This is why we have gratitude. Even though the situation may seem hopeless, God always leads us in triumph in Christ. You remember what I said a couple of weeks ago where the guy said, might seem hopeless, but we're not helpless. It might seem hopeless, but we're not helpless. Okay, because we have all these gifts of God. That brings us to our next thing. How to be thankful? We thank God for our gifts. Turn to Romans 5. We thank God for our gifts. Romans 5. So how are we thankful? We're thankful to God first. We're thankful for our gifts. Thanksgiving and grace. Thanksgiving is God's will for us. Thanks is the receipt and response for grace received. So how do we do it? We're thankful to God first. And now, we thank God for our gifts. You say, I've got gifts? You certainly do. Every believer has been given gifts by God. Everyone. Okay? This is not something, if you hear somewhere somebody tells you, you know, you don't have any gifts, it comes from Christian maturity, you may have to struggle in your Christian walk for 20 years before God blesses you with any spiritual gifts. Don't you listen to them a bit. Okay? God blesses you the minute you're saved. We've all got something to provide. Okay? Now, Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, okay, by faith in the gospel, we're just as we've never sinned. That's how God sees us. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I may not always feel peace. Okay? We always have things that'll go wrong, that'll test us. But I thought about this morning. Like I said, Jennifer may not even have known when she sent this that it was something that we could use in this today, but that's an example of how God uses our lives and our walk. So Jennifer says, there was talk we could go home today. His pain has been intolerable. He's been in the hospital since Thursday. He had back surgery, talking about her husband, Mike. Okay? But she said, just another storm that the Lord will, and will was in caps, W-I-L-L, that the Lord will carry us through. No doubt. Just another storm. That's what this is. We have peace. You know, Judy Price said, she said, I've been in a situation. It's excruciating. You're there in the hospital. You're just there. You're wore out. You don't know what's going to happen. But she says, just another storm. Yeah, it's a tough time. But she said, just another one. He's already carried us through so many. We have trust that he's going to do it again. Right? Okay. Through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. So we're saved by grace through faith. And we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. So we celebrate in our Christian walk, this peace that we have. We celebrate this righteousness. We celebrate the grace that we've been given through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, celebrate. Man, that's a heck of a word. And not only in this, but we also, here we go again. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Celebrate our tribulations. That's gratitude. Remember when we started out, we said thankfulness means we can be thankful for the good things. That, you know, we acknowledge the good things. But gratitude is being thankful no matter what the situation is. So through our tribulations, we celebrate through our tribulations. That's gratitude. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proves character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Now here we go. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given us. When we were saved, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and it says here that the love of God is just poured out into us. That we're the vessel where it just overflows. So if it's being poured out into us, how can we go around soured up and be in a bad mood all the time? We should live our lives and we should be examples to others and be so grateful and live in a life of celebration for what God has done for us and how He loves us. Okay? That's great. No matter the situation, that's gratitude. You know, when he's talking about the time frame here or just the timeline here. Okay? Tribulation brings perseverance. What's perseverance? That we're able to last. Okay? That we just fight through these things. That we don't give up. That we endure. Okay? And perseverance proves character. That's what coaches will always tell you, and I've heard coaches say to me in times, they said, that athletics doesn't prove character, or athletics does not build character. Athletics proves character in the players because they have to go through those tough practices. They have to go through all this stress. They have to go through these hard times in practice and losing and parents mad at them and coaches mad at them and the community mad at them. And there's times you don't think you can do it. But that builds character and it proves character. And then that proves hope. Because I have this character, I've done that. So God's already got me through this. Like Jennifer said, this is just another storm that we will get through, that He will get us through. That's hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. We can always count on it. Okay? So because of that, the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts, we should reflect that. We talk about broken vessels. We are broken vessels. I'm a broken vessel, but I should be a vessel that the love of God just pours over the top out of. It's not big enough to hold it. Okay? Now, this is why we have gratitude. Even though the situation may seem hopeless, God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Okay? Now, turn to Romans 8:32. And wherever we stop, we stop. Got a few more here. I'll go about 5 more minutes. So Romans 8:32. So God's loved us so much, the Spirit just pours out God's love in us. Okay? Well, here's another proof of how much God loves us. Romans 8:32. God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over to us all. But delivered Him over for us. There's a big difference of for us and to us. Delivered Him over for us all. Every human being. God delivered Jesus Christ to go to that cross. For me. For you. For everybody. He did not spare Him. Okay? This was for everyone, okay? How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Doesn't say here you've got to work 30 years for it. If you endure and you know, God, you live 30 years of just as close to the Lord as you can live and you struggle and you suffer and all that, I'll throw out a few table scraps. It didn't say that. It's for all of us, okay? We're to be thankful for the gifts and the love that God has given us to all. It's to everybody in this room and everybody outside this room. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I got two more verses. And then next week we'll start with the results of Thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Now that matches what it says a while ago, because the spirit is in us. All of God's love and grace has been poured out because the spirit's in us. So that's a perfect match here. So that we may know the things freely given. Freely given. Not worked for. Freely given to us by God. We can know what God's will is for us. We can know how God loves us. We can know the gifts that we have, what God wants us to do. We can know it. Okay? And we have that in us, and it's given freely. We're to be thankful for that. And thanksgiving leads to that. Okay? The more we're thankful, it says here, the more we're going to get. Okay? Because there's a trust factor here. God knows He can trust us. Turn one more. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Sometime, and I've told you this, go through and read the first chapter, three chapters of Ephesians. If you want to feel good about things, read the first three chapters of Ephesians and listen to what all, every gift that's been given to you, spiritual gift that's been given to you by God. There's three chapters worth. Okay? It's not just one or two. We've done this. I mean, there's just pages of it. Of gifts, spiritual gifts that He's given us. So He starts out by saying in verse 3, Ephesians 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with E-V-E-R-Y, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Well, that's just for, that's just for Ken. You know, that's just for Ken. Ken, I've always said that. I don't know how one man can have so much. So, no, it's not. Well, that's just for Jim Pope. No, it's not. That's just for Charlie Hastings. No, it's not. That's for all of us. Okay? We have been given, and remember it said all a while ago, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There's not one spiritual blessing that Billy Graham is privy to that I'm not privy to. Now we need to do something with it. We need to activate it. Okay? There's not one. There's not one spiritual blessing that Paul had that we're not, that's not available for us. So we're to be thankful for that. And the more we're thankful, the more it activates. That's what those other verses were saying. Our thankfulness leads to all this grace and all these blessings given to us by God, and we use them and we're thankful, and guess what? He just gives more. He gives more. Okay? It's like, you know, when Jesus talked about the talents. They give the one talent, the guy buries it, and give another talent, the guy buries it. And the ones that went out and used it, God blessed. And we're thankful for that. And because of that, Paul says, "I am taking for granted you're living a life of thanksgiving." And when you live that, it's just more and more and more and more. Like I said, you can't give out God. You try it. Try to outgive Him. See what happens. Try. Won't happen. Okay? But He'll appreciate you giving the effort, I promise you. So next week, we will look at the results of thanksgiving. Okay? Like I said, a month long. We can speak so much about this, okay? How much God loves us, what He does for us. And if you can't start out in every prayer and say, "Lord, you've been so good to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you." If you can't do that, I don't know what's wrong, okay? And I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. I'm confident everybody in this room can do that. So we're so thankful to the Lord. So let's live a life of thanksgiving this week for the good and the bad. A life of gratitude. We are grateful. Sounds to me like attitude. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but it seems to me like gratitude would mean a grateful attitude. I just mixed the words up. Let's have a grateful attitude for what God's done for us this week. It's not hard. I don't think it's hard to do at all. But we get busy. We get too busy. We get all these things going on in our lives. And I don't think we do it because we don't want to. Sometimes we've got all this going and we forget. Or we get too busy. We look up and we go, "Man, I can't believe it's already 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night." We don't need to get too busy for God. I do. I'm not talking down preaching to anybody. I'm talking to me like I always do. This is like I said. I'm just talking to myself up here and I'm letting y'all along for the ride. I need to have a grateful attitude and constantly, and as Paul says, praying without ceasing. I just need to let God know through the day, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you." Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Martha Joe.